morning. Sandy Williams sitting in for Earl Ingram. We've got Nathaniel Rateliff here with us.
And the night sweats.
And the night sweats. Yep. The night sweats are, you want to get rid of them in the morning, but here we got them. An onslaught. Hey, say, Connor, what? How do people call in?
You would call. I had the number pulled up, but let me get there real quick.
Earl's got this on the tip of his tongue, usually.
844-967-2789. You can call in.
Yeah, call in, particularly if you're interested in talking about education. I've got Scott Williams here, a teacher, talking to me about the situation in education in not only the state but in the country. And the question I posed before we went to break is, I don't understand why it is that conservatives have decided to attack public education like it's red meat. And in particular, is it because they want to make it better, or do they want to destroy it, or what is the issue? I mean, I think the Secretary of Education under Trump seemed hell-bent on destroying public education and installing private education through a voucher system everywhere in the country.
I mean, when they create these red meat, these issues, and they start these culture wars, it's just about votes in the near term, right? I mean, and so, your question, the deeper question of what do they actually believe about education, what do they actually believe about curriculum? I mean, I'm pretty sure if you listen to at least the politicians who aggressively use it in their narrative in order to invoke the beast or whatever, you know, whatever it means to all of them.
Yeah.
But they don't ever talk about education policy. They don't ever talk about, you know, what curriculum should look like outside of criticizing the 1619, you know, the New York Times project, and then, you know, attempting to replace that with one that is, you know, the pinnacle of textbooks.
Yeah, so. I mean, it seems like a formula for the conservatives right now is to create a broad mythical problem. For instance, the stolen election. They never describe how it was stolen or what the mechanics were of it. And in the same way, they attack education as this horrible problem, but they never describe what the problems are. They don't describe whether they're trying to make it better or whether they're trying to destroy it and replace it with something else. I mean, is it just politics, isn't it? I mean, but what is it in the public populace? Why does it resonate with people politically to attack education? Is it racially based, do you think?
I certainly think because I'm a social studies teacher and because that's my primary lens when I'm asked questions like this about people and education, you know, it is undeniable that when you teach, for instance, the civil rights movement, and when you handle for something like the Black Panther Party militia, which were black militant nationalists, but when you talk about, you know, when you establish a perspective for teaching that where you identify all of the ways that they had been cast out and felt completely, you know, unrepresented, and then therefore, you know, when you attempt for students to have a platform to understand, like, the militancy,
yeah,
but you don't teach it as just being terrorists. That is something that, you know, this is a specific topic would be a trigger for people to be able to identify that we are teaching with an intense liberal bias.
Uh-huh. So, Connor, what do you think? I mean, where do you think this comes from? What is the wellspring of emotional content that is driving voters, conservative voters, to want to get fired up about the problems of education?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's like I think a lot of the version of history in which I was talking about earlier. Because I mean, you look at it, there are like a lot of issues with a lot of with the education system. Public education system that I think that do need to be addressed in some ways, right? Because I mean, growing up in Chicago, I went through their public education system, and there were times where, like, there were certain classes that I think would be necessary, right? Like welding or more trade classes that were just taken out abruptly and replaced with classes about gender and social studies and stuff. And that's important, but it's like that unilateral control. I think a lot of, and conservatives tend to be like very, very. So some tend to be pretty libertarian in their governmental philosophy. So they don't like that unilateral control whatsoever. And the fact that they can instigate certain ideas and just say, this is what needs to be taught. Let's teach sex ed across the entire country. I mean, I'm not even saying that, like, I don't think that they're correct, because I feel like you need to take a more compassionistic and understanding approach.
Yeah, I wonder if you aren't attributing too much thought to the movement, though. My sense is that what we've got is a red meat issue that people don't even need to put into context in their brain with specific details. When you bring up the subject, it fires people up. And my sense is it's because you can take these broad numbers in metropolitan areas. The city school districts across the country do not perform very well. But the reason they don't perform very well has much more to do with the socioeconomic condition of the people that they're teaching
than it does the
educational process.
Yeah.
So my sense is that this political attack is because it's subliminally an attack on the people who are coming out of the school systems in these failed school systems, which are basically inner city African American.
That makes a lot of sense, and I think let's not go and directly try to understand what's causing these problems. Let's try to look at the systems that these people are in and criticize those. And that's, like I said, it's not a very compassionistic or rational way to look at how people develop.
I mean, it's just like taking data, the data that comes out, and using it as the description of the problem that is causing it. So, for instance, accusing Democrats who are the mayors of cities as being the cause of city problems is sort of backwards, right?
Yeah, it's the same thing with the single parenthood and single motherhood. It's like they look at the statistics and they say that a majority of a very large portion of African American families are single motherhood based families, and they attribute that to a lot of the problems in the community. But it's like it wasn't like that back in the 40s. It wasn't like that back in the 50s. There are specific things that happened during the 60s, during the 70s, right? The war on drugs, the war on poverty, that made that happen. And just by saying it's because of a cultural problem, you're not addressing it. And I mean, that's always been an issue with discussing with conservatives, because they have like a very, absolutist mentality when it comes to correlation and causation, which is sometimes it makes rational sense because it isn't like always wrong. But when you're trying to discuss and trying to figure out how to fix the problem by just saying, oh, fix your culture, that doesn't help anybody.
But the audience, I mean, like you said earlier, Sandy, the audience that they're signaling to, they're not thinking about, and that context does not exist for many of them. Not because I'm not saying they're ignorant. I'm saying, it's not really in the front of anyone's mind unless you're a nerdy social studies teacher like me. But what I'm saying is the idea of keeping their kids safe.
We're headed for a break. We'll talk about this. I think what we'll talk about is the extent to which when you touch an emotional issue, brains turn off and you don't need facts anymore.